Get ready. It's time. Christina, Catherine, Lisa, Amy, and Lauren. Welcome to the Cimarelli Podcast.
Hey, I'm Catherine.
I'm Lauren.
And we're Cimarelli. Welcome back to the Cimarelli Podcast. So you may have noticed we've lightened our load a little bit today. Christina and Amy are both sick, so they're not here. It's just me and Lauren. And Lisa is still kind of on leave, taking care of her husband as he's going through cancer treatment. So please keep their family in your prayers. Today, we are going to be reacting to your body image stories. So we had you guys send in some of your most like personal raw body image stories, and we're just going to be basically sharing our thoughts and reactions and really just giving you guys a voice. That's kind of the point of this episode. Is I think you guys might start to see like you're so not alone in those experiences, mm-hmm. because even just reading through, Lauren and I were like, whoa, and there's so many like very similar experiences too. Mm-hmm. It really just makes you realize like what you're going through, you're not alone. And it's sometimes really powerful just to hear that someone else out there is experiencing similar to what you're experiencing. So that's going to be our episode today. I'm excited for it. I think this is a really important topic that you just can't talk about enough. I know we've talked about it, you know, several times in the past, but it's just something that you really can't say enough because I feel like everyone's...
Well, it's like a daily struggle.
It's a daily, yeah. Know?
It's not totally. Like, oh, and then I healed. Bye. Never again. Like,
yeah, right.
Happened.
So I think this is going to be a good one. So let's start out with our highs and lows of the week. Do you know what you're going to do?
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Do you?
You can go.
Okay. So my low, this sounds dumb because it's really not that much of a low, is just that I had too much going on this week and I got really stressed. Just like, I think I had like 5 things in a row on Friday, and it was just like, and I also was caring for my twins. So I was just like, meh. And I just got really overwhelmed and stressed. But, you know, it's not the worst low. My high was, I don't know, I have 2 equal highs. I guess I'll just pick one.
You can say both.
Okay.
There's only
okay.
2 of us, so.
Yeah, I had a really good weekend. Saturday, which unfortunately Lauren missed it, she was not feeling good. We had Lily's pool party for her birthday, which it was so fun. It was like the cousins and aunts, uncles, and parents and stuff, like together swimming. And it was just like a really fun, that was also my first time being in a pool this summer. I know. It's literally almost end of July, and I mean, we went to the ocean, we went to the splash pad, but for some reason, we didn't make it in a pool yet. Mm. So I was really excited, and I want to go in the pool again as much as possible. But yeah, I don't know. We just haven't made it. So that was fun. My other high was on Sunday, I got to see my friends who were in town. They just had a baby, and they came to visit for my friend's 30th birthday. And I made like a big dinner for everyone. I made fajitas, chicken fajitas. Ooh, it's kind of like my go-to meal lately. And had them over for dinner, and they're just like our favorite like couple friends to hang out with, and they don't live in the same state anymore, so it's always just like really fun to see them. And I don't know, we took a Polaroid together and like put it on our fridge next to the last Polaroid we took with them.
Aww,
so it was just a really fun, like very summery. This weekend was really fun, honestly, with like those 2 different things. So well, yeah,
good for you.
Oh no. What,
wait, did you do low?
Yeah, my low is just like I got really overwhelmed.
Oh, you're busy
that. Yeah. Yeah.
My low is that I was like, I wasn't sick exactly, but I was like on the precipice of being sick all weekend. So like, I was just like, gotta take it easy. Like I'd do like 1 thing in the day, but I was like, mm-hmm. I can't go to this pool thing. Like I just don't have the energy for it. It's like, I just felt like if I like moved for too long, I needed to like lay down. So like not really good times. So that was my low.
I feel like that's like, I feel like when I feel like that, it's like your body maybe is fighting something.
Yeah.
But it didn't like, quite get it or something.
Exactly. Because I didn't have any really symptoms besides just this like fatigue.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And it's just like, something's coming. But it didn't come. And I guess that's my high, is that I feel better now.
Yay. Don't those moments just make you appreciate your body so much?
Yes.
You're like, because all I want to do is like go outside.
Well, and just things like, oh, I forgot something in my room. Like, oh, let me run upstairs really quick and grab it. It's like, no, it's not really quick. It's like, oh, going up the stairs. So
oh
it's like,
gosh.
Wow, I can just freely.
Or when you like lay in your bed for like an hour and you're like, I really have to go to the bathroom, but I'm too tired to get up. And then you finally go. Even though it's like not that far away. I've done that before.
Yeah.
That might have been more when I had mono, but yeah.
Yeah. So it's feel gratitude.
Yeah. To be alive and to have a body. Health. Very applicable for this episode.
Yes.
Love it. Well, just so you got, in case you guys didn't know, if you are looking to learn the piano, you should definitely check out our piano course. It's on our website, and it's taught by our mom, who has a master's degree in piano performance. She actually teaches us the lesson, so you kind of get to learn alongside of us. She taught all of us to play the piano when we were young, so she's a great teacher. She had her own piano studio for a while, and it's just a really great e-course. You can go at your own pace and just put on the lessons. It's a lot of fun. You might even hear some of our music in it, so definitely check it out if you're looking to learn the piano. Also, we wanted to give a shout out to our wonderful patrons. Thank you guys so much. You are the heart and soul of this podcast, and we truly could not do it without you. So thank you so much to all of our patrons for supporting the podcast.
And this episode is the this episode, the full episode's on Patreon only. So it's like every other episode we do is like full on YouTube, and then half, I don't know how to explain this.
Yeah, it's like fully on Patreon and half on YouTube, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, every other episode is fully on YouTube. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
But not this one.
Yeah.
But I said that.
And we have many other full-length episodes available on our Patreon that you should definitely check out, and a lot more episodes coming up, so check it out. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you guys have been watching the Cimarelli podcast for a while, you know that we mention therapy every other minute. We love therapy and are big, big just endorsers of it, and have seen a huge positive change in our lives. I know for me personally, I started therapy when I was 20, so it's been 11 years. And I've just noticed a massive change. There's just so much value in sharing what's going on in your life with an outside person who's unbiased, not your family and friends, who's also a trained professional who can help you just have a different perspective or get kind of a different set of eyes on whatever it is that you're dealing with in life. The benefits of therapy are truly endless, but it can also be a really overwhelming thing. And that's where BetterHelp comes in. They streamline the therapy process and simplify it and make it so much more accessible. It's more affordable than traditional therapy, and it's all online, so you can easily access it from the comfort of your home. They have a great detailed questionnaire that kind of goes through and asks you a lot of questions to help you match with the right therapist. But if for some reason you don't click with the first therapist or even the second, you can easily rematch with a new therapist. So they make it super easy to find the right person, which is amazing. So if you're thinking of trying out therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Just fill out the brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Cimarelli today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Cimarelli. This episode is sponsored by Green Chef. Woo! We love Green Chef. Ugh. We just got our boxes this week, and I cannot wait to try out the new meals. Their meals are so delicious, and we will talk a little bit about that in a minute. But some wonderful things about Green Chef. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating clean with dinners that work for you, not the other way around. Green Chef is the only meal kit that is both carbon and plastic offset. They offset 100% of delivery emissions as well as 100% of the plastic in every box. Plus, nearly all packaging materials are curbside recyclable in most areas in the U.S. They deliver everything you need to eat clean the easy way for the rest of summer. Feel your best with nutritionist-approved recipes packed with clean ingredients that support your healthy lifestyle and taste great too. So we have all tried the Green Chef meal kits many times, and they are delicious. I love the recipes I've tried. Do you have a favorite of any of the recent ones you've tried or anything?
I don't know. Literally every single one is just good. Every single one. It's like, how do they do it? I don't know. But every single one just hits out of the park.
And they're so quick and easy to put together. They take about 30 minutes, which is so quick to get literally a meal that tastes like you got it from a restaurant. The ingredients are all pre-portioned for you, so you don't have to measure anything. It's so much quicker and just very convenient. If you want a quick, healthy meal on the table in 30 minutes, it's perfect for that. Go to greenchef.com/Cimarelli50 and use code Cimarelli50 to get 50% off plus free shipping. Go to greenchef.com/Cimarelli50 and use code Cimarelli50 to get 50% off plus free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Okay, guys, so we're going to jump into the main topic, which is reacting to your body image stories. And we're just going to jump right in for it. Okay, so our first one is, I'm going to be reading this first one. These are all anonymous, so you guys all sent these in, but they're all anonymous. Okay. My whole life, my dad has always body shamed my mom because she was bigger and because I was more curvy than my sister. He also did the same thing to me. Told me that I couldn't eat certain foods because it would make me fat, and just mean comments in general about it. When I was away at college, I learned that most people don't think that way. That's pretty awesome. But about a month before I would go home to visit my parents or my family, I would be in the gym almost every day trying to lose weight because I didn't want him to be mad at me. Oof. Now my sister has an eating disorder and my mom no longer thinks she's beautiful. Ugh. All because of what he would say to us. Any advice?
That's just so messed up. Like, your is her dad.
Yeah.
Should never, like, be talking about that or speak to you that way. Like, that's so hurtful.
Yeah, it's really sad. I think one of the things, one of the biggest threads I noticed in a lot of these stories, it's so hard to read, but unfortunately for a lot of people, it's their parents. That's mm-hmm. like where body image issues start. Not, and a lot of people, I'm sure, have great parents. That's not the issue. But there were a lot of people that were saying like their parents were basically body shaming them, which I don't know. That's just really sad to hear because that's not what your parent is supposed to be. They're supposed to be someone that can protect you and keep you safe and make you feel safe in your own body and in your home, mm-hmm. like rather than just feeling like you're criticized and walking on eggshells. And it's just so hard. I think it's really hard when, like, I think our parents' voices have such an impact on us. And if your parents' voice is so critical, it's really hard for like kids not to feel just mm-hmm. super critical of themselves. So I definitely, like, really, my heart goes out to whoever wrote this. It's just like, I really encourage you to find the healing that you can on your own, because mm-hmm. unfortunately we can't like change who our parents are. Like, it just kind of is what it is. But what we can do when we grow older and what it's our responsibility is to find that healing as an adult. And some people even say reparent yourself. So it's like, that's one of the most healing things you can do as an adult, is become for yourself the thing that you never had as a child. So like, if you felt constantly criticized, you probably feel a lot of temptation to like criticize yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's a really good thing to work through in therapy. Just like, how can I be a safe place for myself? And obviously it's not going to be perfect. You know, healing is like such a journey that you just keep going through every day, but really working to be aware of yourself and becoming that safe place for yourself, because truly at the end of the day, you are the person that you have, and your parents, like, they might be great or they might be really critical and it's just hard. But if you can find that in yourself to say, I am worthy of love unconditionally, and the size of my body does not change that. That is like such a life thing that no one can take that away from you. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to get there. Really hard.
Well, but, and I think it's like an everyday thing. Like, you don't just like get there. It's like something you like,
yeah,
it's like a mindset, yeah, you have to like keep with every single day. Cause I, yeah, think it is so easy like to hear other people talking, mm-hmm, or you see like messages in the media or whatever that just like can kind of like kill that whole, like, all the work that you've been doing. It's like you hear one thing or see one thing, yeah, you're just like, oh. So I think it really is like something you have to do every day.
Yeah. And also too, just remembering like those voices only have power if you like allow them to have it. It's like your dad or whoever it is, whatever person in your life, they might have instilled in your mind that like this one really narrow thing is all that's acceptable in bodies, but that's not true. And mm-hmm. you can challenge that and be like, I don't agree with that. And that's not how I see it. As an adult, I'm going to choose how I see bodies. I don't see bodies as flawed because they don't look a certain way. Mm. It's like a new belief that you can create for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess I'll read the next one. This is just so sad reading through these. Like, I don't know, like, there's so much like shame mm-hmm. that I can just feel from all of these stories. Gosh. And yeah, it's just like, ugh, it like hurts so much to read. So here's one. I missed out on actually going into the ocean or pools for most of my teenage years because I didn't like how I looked in a bikini and I couldn't suck in my stomach enough to be as thin as I wanted to be, no matter how hard I tried. And also sucking in for hours gets painful. Haha. I always lied about it, but really, sorry, my phone is broken and it keeps scrolling for like the screen is broken, so I'm losing my space. So I always lied about it, but I really hated my legs and my gut. But at the same time, I refused to buy a bathing suit to cover my gut. Why are you calling it your gut? Because in my brain, it was like, bathing suits are only for people trying to cover up their belly. And I couldn't accept that I wasn't a stick. It's totally fine to be a stick. I'm just not one. But yeah, it's only been like a year since I've been going into the water wearing a bathing suit that's comfy and actually having fun. Moral of the story, it absolutely wasn't worth it to lie to everyone that I just didn't feel like going into the water or taking off my clothes. I missed out on so much fun. And also, I discovered that literally nobody ever comments or cares about the type of swimmer I have on or how much I weigh. To anyone who might hear this story, almost nobody analyzes your body the way you do. Realizing that might get you out of your head. You deserve to have fun.
Wow. I just want to point out that this person said that they started wearing a swimsuit in the last year, which is amazing. That is like, that takes a lot of courage, and that is, you should be really proud of yourself. That's really cool. Oh my gosh. That's just so sad. Like, and I feel like another thing to realize is like, I would say most people probably at the beach or the pool are feeling kind of uncomfortable because it's like you're in the least amount of clothes you wear pretty much in your life. And it feels really vulnerable.
Also, that was an interesting point that she made because I think she was saying she always wear bikinis.
Oh,
and she felt
yeah.
uncomfortable, and then she didn't want to wear a one piece because she's like, oh, well, that's only what people wear because they're insecure and they don't want to show their stomach. And she felt like if I wear that, then everyone will think I'm insecure about my body.
Mm.
And I'm like, that is an interesting point that I feel like people do feel that way. They're like, oh, that just means you're insecure.
Mm.
But like she said, she started wearing one and no one made any comments. Nobody cares. And she actually started like having fun in the summer and being able to like enjoy life. So if you're thinking that, like, that's just not true.
Yeah. And that really goes back to one of the biggest things that I've learned in eating disorder recovery, which is like the way that we view our bodies as objects to be viewed by others, and that that's like their purpose to like look a certain way for the pleasure of other people to view. Which, when you really say that out loud, it's really messed up.
It's and you're disturbing. Like, but that's OMG. What we say to ourselves.
We say it to ourselves, but like maybe call yourself out next time and be like, wait, I am not just this thing that people look at and they're like, oh, I like the way that thing looks. What?
Yeah.
That's like you're at the store shopping for something. No. You're a person. And it's like the purpose of your swimsuit is to be comfortable and enjoy the water, which I feel like most people don't think that way. And I know it's hard for me too. Like I feel like everyone, like, but that's the point of it. And trying to get back to like putting yourself, instead of looking at yourself from the outside, looking in of what do other people think of me? It's like, what do I think of how I feel? Like get back in your own lens of looking out into the world, because that is like the opposite of being objectified when you're in your own humanity looking out, rather than thinking you can tell you're objectifying yourself when you're thinking, what are other people thinking of me right now? That's like a dead giveaway. And it's sometimes even just that small shift is very helpful to be aware.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm thinking of myself as an object. That's not true. How do I like get out of that? So, but yeah, that's another common thread I feel like I saw in a lot of stories I read, that's like people missing out on things.
Yeah.
Just like, oh,
so sad.
Yeah. It's sad that we have put bodies on such a pedestal of like, they have to be a certain way or else they're not good enough or qualified to participate in this activity. Like that just shows you, I feel like, how far our society has gone in like a bad direction. Okay. So the next one, it says, I had a really great relationship with my body, and I was a late bloomer, so I didn't really notice things about myself until my early teens. I had a friend that would point out her flaws a lot, and one day she started telling me some of my flaws. She would say that I have so much fat on my hips or that my legs are pretty big. She would cover it up by tearing down something about herself, too, and I'd go home and stare at the mirror. I'll never forget looking in the mirror at 13, and it felt like the first time I had even ever seen myself. Oof.
Mm.
It's taken a long time to get past those thoughts and insecurities, and that friend and I have had many hard and healing conversations about those times from our childhood.
Ooh, that's wow. Yeah, I feel like that's like a lot of times, well, I think probably every time actually, people, it's like you're just a kid. You don't really notice anything about your body until someone makes a comment. And then it's like you open your eyes and then you start seeing yourself in this negative way that you didn't even think about before.
Yeah, you didn't even know that was a problem.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, oh, like, that's just me. And then you're like, oh, wait, that's bad, wrong.
Yeah, I had a really similar experience to this in middle school. I remember very clearly like seeing my friends look in the mirror and like make comments about their bodies. And it just made me think of like, oh, there's all these things that are like can be bad. And it definitely made me feel a lot more. And that really goes back to like, I feel like so many of these stories, it's like it's someone else who's probably really hard about themselves and their own body. And they're kind of like projecting that onto you. Mm-hmm. And then it ends up like affecting you, which is like really messed up. But that seems to be how it starts. It's always like someone else's own problem that's not really even yours to take on, but then
which that's why it's so messed up, because it's like it's not even your opinion, it's someone else's opinion, and then you just take that as like, okay, now that's what I think, but you didn't even think that.
And someone else probably put it on them. Who put it on them. It's just like this, where did it even start? Like, it's just this endless cycle. It's like we have to be the cycle breakers.
Yes, be the cycle breakers. Okay, when I was 12 years old, these are just so sad. Just thinking of like a 12-year-old, I'm like, ugh. Okay, when I was 12 years old, I was playing outside with my friends when my crush, who was 14, noticed that I had armpit hair. Oh. He pointed it out in front of everyone like it was shocking and embarrassing.
Oh.
My kid/preteen heart broke, LOL. Not LOL, sad. I've been extremely self-conscious about my body hair ever since, which is unfortunate as I am a hairy gal. Anyway, it was just this one tiny second that has impacted my whole life. Every summer when shorts and short sleeve shirts are a thing is kind of a nightmare because I'm constantly worrying about that one hair I might have missed while shaving. Oh. Hate it. I'm not sure what to do about it. Mm. Oh, that is so sad.
It's sad, but it's like very relatable.
Yeah,
though.
It's like, yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's such like a woman thing of like being ashamed of all of these things that are literally just natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why? I don't know why that or where that even came from of like every woman needs to be this hairless person that only has hair on their eyebrows and head. Like why? That it's actually really weird if you think about it, like because hair grows in your body to like keep you warm and like it has like a it has a purpose. And I don't know. It's also a lot of times hair grows like around openings in your body, like your ears, your nose holes. Like it has a purpose around your eye, your eyelashes. Like it's catching like bacteria and stuff so it doesn't get into you. Like it has a purpose. It's there for a reason. It's just, it's why are we made to feel that it's so unnatural when it literally is something that every person has?
Yeah. And I feel like like when I was younger, was definitely self-conscious about that. But then actually seeing Lisa really empowered me because I just always felt like she didn't care and she would just be at the beach just living free. And I was like, okay, if Lisa doesn't care, then I don't need to care either.
I love it.
Sometimes I think that's all it takes sometimes is just seeing someone else like modeling that, being carefree about it and seeing like, oh, it's okay. Like, they don't care about that. I don't have to care either.
Yeah, that's so boring.
So it's like, maybe you should look at some role models. But also, I don't even think that was quite the issue because she's saying, like, worrying about, like, one hair I might have missed. And it's like, it's okay if you have one hair that you missed.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Or a whole leg of hair. That's totally fine, too.
Well, yeah, it's like,
it doesn't matter.
And I get like having an experience like that, like, and you're saying like, oh, this one tiny second like affected the rest of my life. That's kind of like traumatizing though, to be like embarrassed in front of everyone, in front of your crush. Like that's something that really impacts a person. So I wouldn't like downplay it as like, oh, this one tiny moment affected me. Like that was like a big moment emotionally.
Yeah, and it's like you're, because of how that moment unfolded, your mind is like storing that, because that's traumatic. Like,
yeah, it's like you're doing everything you can to like not experience that humiliation again. So like, oh, I gotta make sure I get everything. If one hair gets pointed out, like I'm back to when I was 12. Yeah,
and then you're just associating body hair with shame and humiliation, and even like the fear of disconnection or the fear that you're not belonging to the group anymore.
Yeah, like isolation.
Yeah, it's like such a human thing. So I think it's, that also might be something to work through like in mm-hmm. therapy, because therapists can help us like reprocess memories in a way that like integrates into our minds better, instead of it being this like really hot button topic. And also kind of like Lauren's saying, like that can be really freeing to like embrace the hair sometimes and just mm-hmm. be like, you know what, I don't have time to shave, like whatever, or I didn't want to, and yeah. like I'm not less of a person, I'm not less beautiful, less clean. A lot of people think it makes you like dirty, which it doesn't. Yeah. Like you're not less of a person or less clean or beautiful. I don't know, it might be something that you have to kind of experiment with yourself, just to sort of like force yourself out of that mindset. Mm-hmm. Like I used to have this mindset that if I didn't shower that day, I was like dirty and like didn't smell good. And I was so afraid that I was like gross. And I've kind of realized like that's not even true. And no one even notices like yeah. the thing that you think they notice.
It takes a while of not showering people to notice.
Yeah. So. yeah. Yeah. I had to kind of get out of that mindset. It's funny because the next one that I was going to do, but it's very similar, so I'm just going to skip that. But it was the same thing of her saying like that, like body hair. And she was also saying like growing up in the 90s and the early 2000s was like really impactful. Mm. And I can say that too, because I was born in 92.
Like in what way? Yeah.
I feel like that there was this very like, I don't know, I feel like in Seventeen magazine and Cosmopolitan and all those like girl magazines, there was sort of this ideal, like ultra, like feminine, whatever type woman that was presented. And I definitely feel like being like completely hair free was like a big part of that. Just super, it was super perfectionistic. Okay, so here's another one. They said, body image has impacted my life in many ways, and to this day I still struggle with it. I always look at myself and think I'm overweight. Growing up, my parents used to say that I needed to lose weight, otherwise I could have health problems in the near future. With that, I recently have also been struggling with disordered eating, which has been a struggle, and I'm trying to find a healthy relationship with food and my body. The positive to this all is that I'm at a way better place with my body and food. The negative is that it has left my mental health to go astray. Mm. What is a tip to find positives in a negative situation, or to be more positive? I always find it hard to look at the bright side when it comes to most things in life. I think that maybe that it's not even really about being negative and positive. I feel like it's more about healing. And I would definitely recommend, if you have struggled with disordered eating in any way, it might be worth it to reach out to a registered dietitian who specializes in eating disorders. That's the type that I worked with. And to like kind of it, you basically have to relearn your relationship with food and your body. They basically just like teach you, like you're kind of tearing everything down to the ground and then building it back up in a different way than you thought before. But yeah, I definitely think that when it's so deeply ingrained, literally coming from your family of origin, like mm-hmm. that is very difficult to like just go on your own and try to be positive and try to like overcome yeah. it. You might need like assistance in that.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of people have really like deep issues with food, like disordered yeah. eating. And there's kind of mm-hmm. this idea that's like, oh, well, you should be able to just kind of like stop yeah. and like get over it on mm-hmm. your own. But it's like that's something you need like help with.
Yeah,
like it's not yeah. just an easy thing of like, oh, I just need to be positive, I just need to love myself more. Like there's like a deep like mental deep. Aspect
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, I have spoken to a friend of mine is actually like a master's degree in and specializes in eating disorders and counseling, and she was saying that an eating disorder is actually like a form of addiction, and it's really really difficult to overcome that, because it's not like a lot of addictions where you can just remove yourself from an environment that has the substance that you're trying to avoid. You are literally faced with it at least 3 times a day in the meals that you eat.
Ooh,
so it's
yeah.
like you can't avoid it, you have to face it. It's just like literally part of human survival to do that. And it's just yeah, I encourage you to get help sooner, as soon as possible, because like that was another thing my friend taught me, that a lot of times the length of time you were in your eating disorder can be the amount of time for you to like really start healing. So the longer you're in it without healing, the longer that can go on, which is just not, no one should have to suffer that long. It's just not cool.
Mm-hmm.
So
Okay. I am on the thinner side, but not unhealthily thin. Whenever I visit my grandma and aunt, that's almost always what they talk about. Eat more. You'll only eat that much. Take more. When clearly I eat more than I normally do when I'm there. Once my aunt talked to my mom about me and my sister, saying, we have the height, we just need the weight to look beautiful. Oof. I always feel like I have to measure up for them. Like, me being me is not enough. Even my friends in college sometimes talk about how much I eat and how thin I am. They think it's a compliment to be thin, and so they can talk about it all they want. I'm grateful I'm a healthy being, but it really gets annoying to be talked about, to be talked to about something you've been trying but failing to change. Honestly, I'm happy the way I am. I just wish they'd shut their critical eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that is a really common thing that people think no one's insecure about being thin. And so you can say whatever you want and no one will care because it's a compliment to be thin because everyone's always striving to be thinner and lose weight. Like, that is the mentality that like, oh, everyone wants to be thinner at any given time. So it's like, oh, you're so thin. Like, but a lot of people, and I saw multiple stories like that of people feeling really insecure about that. So I just want to say to people feeling that way, a lot of people are with you. Like, there was a lot of stories like that. And also want to say to everyone else, like, don't comment on people's bodies either way. Don't, like, it's not like, oh, it doesn't matter because they're thin. It does matter. It hurts people's feelings.
That's so true. And I wanted to say, like, that is really hard when people feel like because you're thin, they're allowed to comment on your body. I know for me, that was really difficult in the beginning of my eating disorder when I was more on the thin side. Like, I felt like that was like such a compliment, but then it makes you feel like, well, what if I wasn't? Would I be not acceptable? And people say things all the time like, oh, wow, you look great. Have you lost weight? And it's like, so what are you trying to say to that person, that they didn't look good before? Like, why would you say that? That's like such a backhanded thing to say. And it's just, you cannot win. You cannot win with commenting on people's bodies.
Yeah.
Regardless of how they look, just, and also too, I just want to encourage the person that wrote that, like, if someone's commenting on your body, it's so much more about them than it is about you. Like, if you feel at peace with your body and your relationship with food, that's all you need to know, and you feel good about it. Like, you don't, other people's projections of their own insecurities is not about you. So just saying that too. Okay, this one says, I'm 27 and just now learning the importance of loving and caring for my body. I've lived my entire life in a bigger body. As a child, growing up in the house that I did, I unfortunately did not learn how to make mindful choices and nourish my body. By the time I was 8, I was given the choice between an apple or a weight loss shake for breakfast. Oh my gosh. Whew, that, then I was left to outside to run laps around the house. This set me up on a path of disordered eating and poor self-image. I've held myself back in life because of my body size. I said no to many activities because I didn't want people to see my body. I quit volleyball, missed swimming parties, and gave up countless opportunities. I realize now how much I've wrecked my metabolism and my health. This is the only body I get, and now I try to focus on having compassion for myself. Because the habits I learned as a child are not my fault, but it is my responsibility now to redirect my mindset and choices. Also, I'm trying to make up for those lost opportunities. Saying yes to life, no matter the pant size. Oh, wow. I love that. But I also hate that. I love the ending of that. Oh, this one is just like, I don't know. This might be the one that I read that like hit me the most, just because I feel so much sadness for like a little girl that's given like such little food and forced to like go outside and run laps. Like, I think that's like inhumane and really like really scary to hear and just so incredibly sad to think of. And the other thing that makes me think of is like, it's interesting how a lot of people kind of justify their actions towards people by saying, I just care about your health. I'm just trying to help. I just want you to be healthy. But they do such cruel things in the name of health. And it just kind of makes me think, like, is that really what your goal is? Like, for someone to, like, I don't know, maybe for some people that truly is. But I can't help but think, like, it's almost like we're worshiping at this altar of health and wellness. Like, that is the ultimate goal in America, I guess. I don't know, maybe the world, like, to be healthy and well and young and rejuvenated and fresh and just this glowing that girl or whatever, like, it girl. I don't know, like, it's just so, it's so sad how far we've come from that. And the majority of people are not in this one body type that society is saying is the only way to be healthy. Most people are not in that.
Thanks for listening to the Cimarelli podcast. To hear the rest of this episode, join our Patreon at patreon.com/Cimarelli, where we post every episode in full. You can also watch all of our past seasons and Patreon-only episodes when you become a patron.
You've been listening to the Cimarelli podcast. Follow Cimarelli on Spotify and subscribe on YouTube. You can also find Cimarelli on Facebook and Instagram.